gone by 96.7 WDLR AM 1270. We certainly appreciate you joining us. It's another edition of Off to the Races. The countdown to the Little Brown Jug continues. We are just a week and a day away from the start of the Big Delaware, Ohio Fair Meeting. And then, of course, the big day, the Little Brown Jug, coming up on Thursday, September 18th. We are just a week and a couple of days from that. It's that time of year. It's the greatest time of year in the sport of harness racing. And we've got you covered here on Off to the Races, as we're going to continue to dive into the history of the Little Brown Jug, as we're going to take a look at the 80s and the 90s. Some great Little Brown Jugs of seasons past, narrated by Roger Houston, courtesy of our good friends of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association and their YouTube channel. Make sure you check it out. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about the top 10. It's week number 5 of Jay Wolf's top 10. Of course, Jay Wolf, we had him on the program last week. He's the director of publicity for the Little Brown Jug, and his top 10 hasn't changed much. We'll take a look at it here in just a couple of minutes. Plus, another nice little tidbit. We talk about the Jug Hall of Fame. We've got some breaking news coming up for you on that front here in just a couple of minutes. But before we go any further, let's thank our fine sponsors, because if it wasn't for them, there would be no us, quite frankly, on this program. The Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Off to the Races is also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center. They've got caring down to a science, and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and Drive-Through Feed Store. Visit them online at cashmans.com. All right, top 10 time. Has anything changed in the Jay Wolf's top 10 for Little Brown Jug eligibles? The answer, not really. Blueprint maintains that number one status. The Burke Brigade's fine three-year-old, coming off of injury, looked very, very good in that workout a few weeks ago at the Meadows, and then in Pennsylvania Sire Stakes action this past week, getting the job done. Same can be said for number two, Prince Hal Hanover, as he took another leg, another division of the Pennsylvania Sire Stakes at the Meadows over the last week and a half or so. So he's going to maintain that number two spot. Captain Optimistic, still number three as he was last week for Three Brothers Stable, Marvin Katz, Caviar Farms, and trainer Nancy Tactor. Crack Shot maintaining that four spot for Team McNair, Dale Hunter, Frank Brundle, and George Kerr. Greg McNair, Doug McNair, the driver trainer combo there, the father-son connection. Now, Poppy's Rocket maintains spot number five, another Burke Brigade entry. Number six, Fallout, maintains that spot number six. Thirsty Thursday maintains that spot number seven. Poppy's Pistol maintains that spot number eight for Team DePinto. And here is where we get a couple of changes on the fringes of the top ten. Number nine, Sterling Choice, was not rated a week ago, but he is into number nine for trainer Blake McIntosh and driver Billy Davis. And number 10, Set Shot, who was not ranked a week ago, has now broken into the top 10 for Dr. Ian Moore. Every time you see that name, you have to really give their horses second, third, and fourth looks, especially from a gambling point of view. Bob McClure is the regular driver on number 10, Set Shot, number 10. We've got some upcoming events. September 5th, well, that was actually passed as of yesterday, but not of this taping. New Jersey Classic Final, we'll talk a little bit about that next week. Hoosier Cup eliminations, they've got the Hoosier Cup next week. September 6th, which is today, you've got the action from Batavia Downs, New York Sire Stakes Final, Pennsylvania Sire Stakes Final at Hollywood Casino at the Meadows. You got the Simcoe Stakes, big card at Woodbine Mohawk. Simcoe Stakes for the three-year-olds. You've got the Hoosier Cup, as we said, on September 12th. And, of course, Kentucky Sire Stakes Finals on September 14th. All races that you're going to want to keep an eye on as we approach Little Brown Jug Day. And don't forget, there's always a chance for a supplement. Also got a deuce plucked down, the low, low price at $45,000. And that is due on Saturday, September 13th at 10 a.m. So 1 week from today. Anybody that's wants to get in, wants to pluck down the 45,000, happen to be listening to this program, you've got about a week to do so. And that was Jay Wolf's top 10. Now we talked a little bit about some breaking news concerning the Jug Hall of Fame, and this was broken by Jay Wolf just a couple of days ago. Owner extraordinaire Dave McDuffie, a prominent figure in the sport of harness racing, as Jay Wolf wrote, also a two-time Little Brown Jug winner, has been selected as the 40th inductee into the Little Brown Jug Wall of Fame by the Delaware County Fair. So congratulations to Dave McDuffie. The article by Jay Wolf goes on to read from the USTA that McDuffie's lifelong passion for harness racing began in his youth, inspired by his father's standardbreds in a backyard half-mile track in their family home in Massachusetts. He entered horse ownership in the 1980s alongside his longtime partner Tom Walsh and has since built an extraordinary career in the sport. Back in 2024, McDuffie reached the pinnacle of harness racing recognition as he was inducted into the Harness Racing Hall of Fame in Goshen, New York. He's previously honored as the United States Harness Writers Association Owner of the Year back in 2021. He has served as a trustee of the Harness Racing Museum and Hall of Fame since 2024. He is going to be honored during a special ceremony coming up Jug Week on a Tuesday, September 16th, prior to the 80th edition of the Little Brown Jug. He's also will be recognized in the winner's circle on Jug Day, of course, that being September 18th. The horses that Dave McDuffie won the jug with, that you might be asking yourself, 1994 with Magical Mike, 1996 with Armborough Operative. So a job well done, certainly recognition well deserved by one of the great owners, one of the great investors of our sport, Dave McDuffie. And once again, we just can't say enough about the people that invest money in these fine equine athletes, really the lifeblood of the sport. They're the ones that keep it ticking. Well, we've got a good show coming up for you today. We're going to kind of break from the junk just for one segment. Tony Veruso, amateur driver, longtime horseman, is going to be on the show. He had a 15-year-old horse, I Am Mr. Brightside, that went in my neck of the woods, Harris, Philadelphia. It's not too often that you see a 15-year-old horseman. We're going to talk to him. Plus, we're going to dive further into Little Brown Jug history in segment three.
It's known as the Great American Harness Race, the Little Brown Jug, and it's held right here in Delaware, Ohio. Why? Because Ohio is the heartland of harness racing. In Ohio, the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association keeps things running smoothly and is here to make sure that harness racing remains strong. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Join us and keep Ohio as the driving force of harness racing. Call 800-353-6442, the OHHA.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.
And we are back on Off to the Races. You've got my 96.7 WDLR AM 1270. And right now we are joined by Tony Veruso, longtime horseman, amateur driver, and owner and driver of a 15-year-old. I like to call him the ageless one, Tony. I Am Mr. Brightside, coming with a really nice win in my neck of the woods, Harris, Philadelphia, last Friday. But listen, whenever you see a 15-year-old war horse get the job done, it really does something for the soul, I got to tell you, as a harness racing fan.
Yeah, he's been really, to use the word, bright right for us. We got him about a year ago, and he was a little run down, and Simon and Veronica took their time with him, and he has bad feet, so our blacksmith, Mitch Kelly, really helped out, and he is literally getting sounder each month that we've had him, to the point where I think he's our soundest horse in the barn right now.
And I'll tell you, that's something, because it seems like the older he gets, the better he gets. But, you know, now horses race at 14, but in the amateurs, they could go to 15. Is that right?
Actually, I was reading the USTA rules just recently. There's no actual limit to their age. It's just over 14. They can only race in fair races or amateur races.
Gotcha. So we might see this guy around for the next year or two if he stays sound.
If he stays sound, he loves racing. You can see it. He gets to the track. He's all perked up. He loves to be in the race. And as long as he's sound, because to me, the horse is more important than anything. He's not making that much money that it's a life-changing event. You know what I'm saying?
So. Well, certainly, yeah. Visiting with Tony Veruso. Now, Tony, you've been competing in the amateur driver ranks over the past couple of seasons. And, you know, it's good to see the amateur. I always tell people in harness racing, or I should say new to harness racing, when people ask me, you know, well, what's the great thing about harness racing? And I always say the great thing about harness racing is accessibility, because you could take your harness racing career as far as you want to, whether you want to drive the horse, train the horse, be a horse owner, what may have you. And I think that's what separates us a lot from our thoroughbred counterparts and friends.
Absolutely, 100%. The fact that basically I'm a flight attendant, but I do this on the weekends, or we go to the barn, and I could let my, when my daughter was 10, I could let my then 10-year-old daughter jog the horse. You know, no matter what level you want to be at as an owner, you can get involved, whether it just be doing stuff at the barn, not necessarily actually racing in the races. But if that's what you want, obviously, I'm testament that you can do that.
No question about it. And of course, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they see the amateur races. I really like the amateur races and the amateur drivers because, you know, you're almost guaranteed an action-packed race, almost like an old-school harness race that you used to see it maybe like in the 80s and the 90s, with a lot of action, a lot of competition, and you just, you know, you kind of don't know what you're going to get from race to race. And I think that makes for an exciting product.
I think that's why, if you ever look, we're very well bet everywhere we go. And I think part of it is that the races aren't quite as predictable. Maybe you could say they're sloppy at times, but you know what? It's out of a thirst for winning. And I think people gravitate to that because it's like, well, I know I'm going to get, you know, like his best shot every week, you know?
Definitely very, very competitive. Now, Tony, let's talk a little bit about your career and what turned you on to the sport of harness racing and how you got started.
Well, I got started as a very young kid. My father bought our house because it was right in the middle of Yonkers and Roosevelt Raceway. So he used to go every night. And as a kid, I wanted to go with him. So he was like, well, if you get A's in school, you can come to the track with me. So starting at about 10 years old, I started going to the track with him because at one point, kids weren't allowed at the racetrack. It was only right around that time that they started letting them in just on weekends. And so I started going, but we live in Queens, between Yonkers and Roosevelt. And I never really touched a horse in any meaningful way, you know, I mean, aside of just touching one. So I kind of wanted to do this. Everyone, you know, most people wanted to be Babe Ruth. I wanted to be Carmine Abatello. That's just the way it was, you know. So one day my wife and I were on our honeymoon, and I went to Ben White Raceway in Orlando. And I talked to some gentleman there, and I really wish I could remember his name. And he was like, just buy a horse, you'll be fine. And I was like, well, I'm not that crazy. But I went down to the farms in Jersey, and I got one of the trainers, his name was Howard Beale, to help me. I basically told him, I'll work for free if you teach me what to do. And he was like, sure. And at the time, Harold Kelly was in the barn with him because they owned horse together. So I got the best of both worlds. I got a good trainer to show me how to do things, and I got one of the most reliable, best drivers to show me or give me insight into driving, you know? And from there, I kind of saw that there were these amateur races, I was like, well, I want to do this, you know? So it took a while, but I literally never really touched a horse till I was about 35. And I've come a long way. I mean, I'm pretty decent at it, you know? There's better guys, but I can hold my own, that's for sure.
Now, anybody, because I do have a lot of people that kind of come up to me and say, well, how could I get involved in harness racing, especially in the amateur drivers and in ranks like that? So what would be your advice to somebody that may want to get started and kind of take the path that you did?
I would think something similar to mine, whether it be buying a horse and you get a trainer who is also not willing to help you, not just train the horse, and maybe teach you along the way. And start from the ground up. I learned how to clean the stall. I learned how to put the equipment on. I jogged horses for a year before they ever let me turn one. You know, you got to do it slow. Just rushing into it isn't going to help. But definitely finding a trainer who is, you know, amenable to helping you learn how to do this is probably your best shot. It's not a quick process, but it can be a very fruitful one if it's something you want to do, you know.
Visiting with Tony Veruso. Now, Tony, one more question before I let you go. And this is a question that I ask a lot of the drivers because I have a lot of harness racing fans that kind of ask me this question, and I kind of pass it along. Before the start of a race, you know, and obviously a lot of drivers I know kind of know their horses, but a lot of them also kind of look at the program and kind of get a general idea of what they want to do. But sometimes that could go awry at the gate. What's kind of your pregame process when it comes to driving a horse?
When I first started, I read the program for 2-3 days prior to the race. As I've done it more and I do know the horses a little better, I try to just kind of look at how many I think are going to leave, how many I don't, where I might want to be in the race. But I take to heart something Harold once told me, which was, if you drive to get a check, you'll be surprised how many races you win. So that's probably why you don't see me rushing out of the gate a lot. But I'm not saying that is the wrong way to drive either, because if you look at someone like Yogi, he leaves the gate a lot and he is super successful. So I'm not saying my way is better, but that was just the way I was taught. And being an owner, it does kind of go hand in hand with, you know, making some money and keeping the horse paying for himself, you know.
That was amateur driver Tony Veruso. Had to have him on the show because it's not often in this business that you see a 15-year-old horse get to the winner's circle. Well, we did last Sunday at my neck of the woods, Harris, Philadelphia. When we come back, we're going to dive back into Little Brown Jug history. We're going to take a look at the 80s and the 90s. You've got Off to the Races on my 96.7 WDLR at AM 1270. Back in a flash.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring. Down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
And we are back at All to the Race. as you've gone by, 96.7 FM, WTLR at AM 1270. Mike Bozich back with you as we continue to take a look at some Little Brown Jug history. We're going back to 1981, and we're going to take a look at the very first filly to ever win the Little Brown Jug. And this is courtesy of our good folks at the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association on the YouTube page. Make sure you check it out. These are Little Brown Jug lookbacks, narrated by the great one, Roger Houston. We're going to take you back to 1981.
The largest crowd in Jug history, 45,907, turned out to see a number of firsts for the Little Brown Jug. The first filly to win the Jug, and the first accident in Jug history. 18 colts and one filly were entered with two divisions going to the post. In the first elimination, Hervé Fillon, an Eastern skipper, passed the 5/8 mark, pulled and jumped a boot, which had been left going to the quarter, causing a chain reaction that resulted in three horses failing to finish. The heat was won by Seahawk Hanover and Benny Webster in 1:56. The filly, Fan Hanover, with Glenn Garnsey driving, won the second elimination and equaled the world record of 1:56.3. The top four in each elimination returned for the second heat. The early leader was Wildwood Jeb and James Marone, with Seahawk Hanover and Ben Webster second at the eighth, when they started another chain reaction accident, taking four horses out of the race. Glenn Garnsey was able to avoid the accident and went on to become the only filly, Fan Hanover, to win the Little Brown Jug.
And of course, one of the great races for fillies is named after the great Fan Hanover. Let's turn the clock a bit to 1985. Let's take a look at the Great Nihilator.
Another record attendance of 47,135 saw Nihilator and Bill O'Donnell win the 1985 Little Brown Jug. With a field of 16 entered, two divisions went postward. The first went to Nihilator in 1:53.1, while the second division was won by Pershing Square, also with Bill O'Donnell driving, in 1:53.4.
On less than an eighth of a mile, Bill O'Donnell puts a pedal to the middle with Pershing Square. The Louder's back out and closing, but it's going to be Pershing Square.
In the second heat, the Magic Man chose Nihilator and recorded a victory in 1:52.1, a stakes record.
He got an eighth of a mile to go. Nihilator, taking the turn. Pershing Square comes to the outside. Nihilator, Pershing Square, and Dignitary. Nihilator, the rail.
The win by Nihilator gave trainer Billy Houghton his sixth Little Brown Jug victory after an 11-year absence. His first Jug victory came in 1955 with Quick Chief. In his first five Jug wins, he was the driver. But in 1985, he went with the catch driver, Bill O'Donnell.
The great Nihilator, the great Bill O'Donnell, the great Billy Houghton. One more look back to take a look at before this show comes to an end. We're going to take you back to 1995, the first woman trainer ever to win the Little Brown Jug.
In 1995, Caroline Lyon became the first lady trainer to win the Little Brown Jug, with Nick's Fantasy, who was the second gelding to win the Jug. John Campbell was in the Saukie, and it was his third Jug win. The field reached the maximum of 30 entered, thus three divisions with 10 in each. The first division went to Powerful Structure and David Miller in 1:54.1. The second went to Nick's Fantasy in 54.3.
Down the stretch they come. Nick's Fantasy the leader. Hensel Hanover is second. The battles are third. Nick's Fantasy wins the second division of the Little Brown Jug.
while the third division was won by Village Connection and Paul McDonnell in 154. In the final, Nick's Fantasy and Campbell sat third from post one, was first up at the half, and a winner by four in 151-2/5.
And down the stretch he comes! Nick's Fantasy, John Campbell, winning the Little Brown Jug! 151-2/5!
Just another one of many great Little Brown Jug moments, and Little Brown Jug 80 is coming up on Thursday, September 18th. We're going to have all the action here for you right here on my 96.7 FM WDLR at AM 1270. Well, I don't know where the time went. This has really been a blast, and we can't have this weekly half-hour party every Saturday morning if it wasn't for the fine people at the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center. They've got caring down to a science, and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and Drive-Through Feed Store. Visit them online at cashmans.com. Special thanks to our guest, Tony Verusa. Special thanks to the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association for letting us take a look at these Little Brown Jug moments on their YouTube page. Make sure you check them out. And a special thanks to you, the listeners. We'll see you next Saturday morning with a first post of 9:30. So long, everybody.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.